good morning. I'm excited. I bet you may be more excited. We're in part 4 of 4 of this series. Next week, we move on to a brand new series. But for this morning, as we wrap up this series, let me attempt to paint a picture for you. And it might be a familiar picture if you've had kiddos in and out of your house ever. So just picture with me a mom, and she's kind of fanatically, frantically trying to get things ready for the evening. They're going to have a birthday celebration that evening. It's a Friday. The husband's probably off at work. They're trying to wrap things up at home. It's a summer day before school starts. Friday, they're trying to get everything ready for the house. Friends are going to be arriving. And so there is a lot of cooking, a lot of cleaning, a lot of things that mom is like under pressure that have to be done before it gets there. Now, of course, this mom has 3 little miracles, 1 14 years old, 1 11, 1 9 years old, and it's probably the 9-year-old's birthday turning 10. All 3 of these children are being amazing. I mean, they are being good. They are off kind of doing their own thing. They are not fussing. They're not fighting. One's playing a video game. Another one's watching YouTube, and the youngest one is building some kind of world on Minecraft, and mom is quickly scurrying about, getting everything wrapped up, getting everything done. She's feeling anxious. She's preparing because, as you know, when the family comes in, she kind of feels like she's on the spot, right? She needs everything to be right for the family. She doesn't want to be embarrassed. So she's kind of working, scurrying around in between the kiddos and among the children. And the children are just being quiet. They're doing their thing. They're not arguing with each other, right? That's a small miracle in and of itself. And you might be wondering, okay, I see this picture. I can picture that in my mind, but so what's wrong with this scene? It sounds calm compared to my house, right? It sounds calm. The children are being entertained. They're not arguing. And that's a big deal. No one's being disobedient. There's no rebellion going on. It sounds pretty peaceful to me. That sounds kind of ideal to me. So what is going on? What's the deal with this? But you see, something is deeper in this scenario that we have made up, that we've created. Something is going on here. Something important is being revealed in this picture, this snapshot. There are character issues being unveiled, being revealed, and they're issues that really might not seem like issues, you know? I mean, this is a hypothetical scenario, but in this scenario, the children are plenty old enough to really understand what's going on this afternoon inside of this house. They are old enough to fully understand what mom is actually facing. And here's what we see in the story, that they are not concerned. They're not even bothered by what's going on. The 14-year-old, the 11-year-old, the 9-year-old turning 10 on that day. They're able to see mom's emotions, and they're able to feel and sense her anxiety about the evening. And each one of these precious children, they possess the power and the skills, all that's required to help mom in the preparation. They could ease some of her burden by just taking on some of the responsibility, some of the tasks, some of the pressure off of her. But not one of them offers to help. Not one stops what they're doing to ask, hey, mom, how can I help? And I think if we look at it, we have to answer the question, why don't they? Because they just don't care. And that is a character problem. They don't care that she's stressed out. They don't care that she might be somewhat discouraged, but she's moving around frantically. They don't care that on some level she's suffering under some kind of hurt, some kind of pressure in that moment. They don't care that she might be embarrassed in front of her family if she doesn't feel prepared, if she doesn't feel fully ready. They don't care enough to volunteer to help. And so I guess the key phrase is they don't care. Now, I know it might make you a little uncomfortable, as it might me, speaking even hypothetically of our dear, precious little princes and princesses. But think with me. If you had a friend who just didn't care, a friend that acted like that towards you, I don't think you would be close friends, at least not for long. That feeling of someone not caring, that makes a horrible coworker for you to work with. It makes an even worse boss to work for. And this not caring, it turns into a selfish, one day selfish, thoughtless neighbor. And so here we are again in a moment where if God begins in your life to reveal something plainly to you about the brokenness in a child's heart, I want you to know then it's not okay with God either. It's a character flaw. It's not okay with God, and it shouldn't be okay with us. And what's more, there's a root cause to this. What we're going to discover today is that character flaws are a source of brokenness inside of our lives, inside of our homes, inside of our churches. Character flaws are the source so often. They're the source of problems in our communities, in our country, in our world. But if you're like me, we have a tendency to really put more emphasis on something we would call direct rebellion of authority, direct rejection of rules, and that's where we tend to focus. We tend to focus on that direct rebellion. And yes, that has to be addressed in our families, in our lives. Yes, it does. And we've already kind of talked about that last week and the week before. But so much of what we deal with on a daily basis, day in and day out, it's not as much, so often, not as much a direct rebellion against the authority inside of a home or against other authorities, but it's more problems connected, in many cases, to character flaws. And we all know how beautiful it is, or how beautiful we hope it will be when our children are growing more and more and more like Jesus, developing more and more and more the character of Jesus. But that doesn't happen accidentally. In fact, it happens very much on purpose, because character is something that must be taught. It doesn't come naturally. And once again, adults, students, but really adults in this moment, once again, we are actually more like our children in this struggle as well. And so for ourselves, that's why God reveals to us in our own lives, He reveals to us character problems. And as God, this has at least been my experience, and I hope it's been your experience too. As God reveals in your life to you a character problem that you have, He does that in your life with patience, and He does that with kindness, and He does that with grace. God doesn't typically reveal those struggles in our lives with fits of anger. And since you, as an adult, since you are chosen to be God's ambassador in the life of the person that is in your life, in this case, children, and as He develops His character in the hearts of your children, we must, in that process also, as His ambassador, reflect to our children His grace and His love. Why do our children lean towards impatience? Why do our children lean toward unkindness or being demanding or intermittent complaining? Why do we as people, why do we fight for our point of view to be heard and understood and accepted? Why do we argue with each other? Why do we holler and try to gather up teams that will be on our side against someone else? Why do we try to prove our point? Why do we become demanding? And why do we do all of that that seems to be lacking in love and grace and mercy? Why do we have a tendency as humans to avoid some work? Why do we have a tendency to shift blame away from us and onto someone else? Why is it that we think that we know more than we really do? Why are we overly competitive? Or why do we sometimes have the feeling that, oh, I'm always overlooked, I'm bypassed, I'm passed over? Why is it that we sometimes think that we work harder than everybody else? Why do we sometimes struggle sharing what we have with other people? Why don't we? And in all of this, we have a tendency to excuse our own behavior rather than to confess it. And I believe all of these things really boil down to character issues for me too. And Paul helps us get to the source of these issues. We find this in Romans chapter 1. Paul shows us that sin and what it does and what happens when it's inside of a heart. And then he shows us the root of that sin. Now, we talked about this passage in July, and we're going to address it again today as we look at this aspect of parenting. Romans chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 24. Paul is writing to the believers in and around Rome, and here's what he says. So God abandoned them. He's describing what happens in this progress and progression of sin. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And all of this that we're getting ready to read is the result of poor character. All right, and here he goes on. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's body. And next, Paul is describing why this happened. And that, so I read that first part to get to this. Here's why it happened. Verse 25, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So here's what happened. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise, he says. And then he reads this like a prayer. He says this, writes this like a prayer, and then he says, amen. So here we have Scripture doing something really amazing. Scripture is connecting character directly with something. Did you get that? Here's what he's connecting in that very clearly. He's directing character to something. Here's what it is. They worshiped. That's the connection. Paul is connecting character with our children's worship. Character connected directly to worship. He's drawing a heavy black line from character to a child's heart, saying these are connected. The heart of your child at every moment is being ruled by something or by someone. Someone or something is in control of your child's life, and it is driving that life somewhere. Someone or something is in charge. And here's what Paul is getting at. Whatever rules your child's heart shapes their character. Let me say that again. Whatever rules your child's heart, in other words, whatever they worship with their heart is going to rule, whatever that rules it is going to shape their character. Whatever rules your child's heart is going to determine how they act and how they react to problems. How they act and how they react in any given situation. Whatever rules your child's heart determines how they interact within every single relationship that they have. And here's the implication of that. That means that there is a moment-by-moment war for the heart of your child. It's a war over control. And I'm not really even over-inflating this at all. Moment by moment, our child's heart is being fought over. Your child's heart, it's going to be controlled either by love and grace and mercy that we find in our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. Or your child's heart is going to be controlled by something else. It will be controlled by whatever it is they idolize, whatever it is they're beginning to worship, even at that young age. And it's only when our hearts are controlled by the Creator, only when our hearts are pursuing and worshiping our Creator, that God Himself will infuse His character into our hearts, which is what is required if we're going to learn how to respond to people and respond to life the way He designed us and created us to respond. So let's look back at our story for just a moment. What was ruling the hearts of those children in this story? And I think if we look at it, we could say this. Here's what was ruling: pleasure and comfort. In this story, that's what was ruling. In other words, me doing what I want to do, what I want to do. I'm going to please me. Now, is pleasure wrong? Certainly. No, not at all. Is pleasure evil? No. God gave us so many things in this world that are pleasurable. So pleasure isn't evil. Is comfort wrong? Of course not. God gave us many things that are comfortable in this world. But if pleasure and comfort begin to rule one's heart, then we have a problem. We have a control problem. We have a heart problem, which Paul is saying is a worship problem. Because in that case, our character is coming from the wrong source. We cannot respond like God would respond because we don't have God's character. You see, these children are getting everything their hearts desired. And since that's what they were worshiping, they were abundantly happy, and they didn't care in this scenario that their mother was frantic. Their hearts were not stirred. They were not moved with care and compassion towards their mother because their hearts were getting exactly what their hearts were craving. And their hearts in that moment were worshiping pleasure and comfort. They just wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they didn't want anything to get in the way of that. And if pleasure controls us, we won't love others and serve others the way God created us to love others and serve others, because that gets in our way, right? And anything that gets in our way is uncomfortable. It's not wrong for our children to want some control in their lives. In fact, if they didn't ever want any control in their lives, we would think there is something wrong there. But if control rules their heart, they're going to fight against and buck against authority every time. It's not wrong for your child to want to be right. But if the desire to be right rules in their hearts, that child is going to be constantly argumentative. It's not wrong for your child to want to be accepted. But if human acceptance rules their heart, that child is going to do things they shouldn't do just for the acceptance of others. It's not wrong for a child to enjoy some material possessions, but if that desire for things rules that child's heart, he's going to be constantly dissatisfied and wanting more and more and more. Character issues in your child's life are often not because they want bad things, but because they begin to worship the good things. But if you try to sit your child down and have that conversation, you're going to watch their eyes glaze over. Children don't yet, in and of themselves, understand the connection between worship and character. If you were to ask your child, why didn't you help your mother when she was frantically trying to get ready this afternoon? Why didn't you help? They would not say, oh, wait, you're right. I was idolizing my pleasure, and I was worshiping pleasure and comfort, and so much so that I never saw my mother struggle. So, mother, listen, I confess that. Mom, I repent of that. I'm going to ask God to help me become more and more like him so that I can love others and serve others instead of myself. That's not what they're going to say. You'll never hear that. At best, they may say, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't notice. 6'7". But here's the good news. God knew it. God knew that was going to be a struggle for your child. And here's the good news. That's why God gave your children you. Because what they need is to see that and understand that and then confess that and repent of that and ask God to help them become more and more like him so that they can love others and serve others instead of themselves. And as God's ambassadors, this is part of the job. As God's ambassador in my child's life, I must lovingly and gracefully help them understand and help them make these wise connections. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We've told you this through the series. I can't speak for Cole here. Let me just speak for me. I was horrible at this. My parenting style was this. I was parenting for obedience. I was not parenting toward life change. I was parenting toward obedience. And when I parent towards obedience, there is no grace. There is no mercy. There is only the law and truth. But if we are going to be God's ambassadors, I have got to learn, you have got to learn, that we must lovingly and gracefully help our children understand these things and make that connection between worship and character. They need more, though, than that just simply being pointed out. They need more than, hey, you failed there. You're on notice. You need to do better. They need more than guilt. They need more than consequence, more than a parent just walking away frustrated at once again. It's not going like it needs to go. They actually need a conversation that's going to help them make the connection between the heart between worship and character, all connected together to make it more clear. And that conversation that you have with your child, that is initiated. It's a divine appointment. It is a God time. And we have to capture those moments and capture those opportunities on purpose in that moment, or at the very least, schedule that for a later discussion. And these are the small moments that make up parenting, as we address those moment by moment life events. These seemingly small moments, that's where God works. That's where He works His care through you, His concern through you, His conviction, His, and then confession, and then repentance. And it all is worked into their hearts. And those moments are inconvenient, but they are not a hassle. And they are not an interference into your day. That is a divine appointment. That is a God time. It's provided by God to you so you can have that moment to extend His grace and extend His truth to your child. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 1. He goes on and he gives us a partial list of these character traits that if we are worshiping the wrong thing, those character traits of that get inserted into our lives. And he gives us a partial list. Now, this is not the dean's list. These are things you do not want to see in the life of your child. None of us want to appear on this list. But this is a vast list. Listen to what Paul says. We're now in verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, in other words, I'm not going to worship God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. He goes on, he's describing, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Listen to these character traits: sin and greed and hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. He's not done. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They are heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet, they do them anyway. Worse yet, Paul says, they encourage others to do them too. That entire list is all things that we try to avoid in the lives of our children. The stakes cannot be higher. You see, our children do not need character realignment. They need, according to Paul, worship realignment. Because it's not character that's the problem. It's a worship problem in their life that produces the character problem. And since they don't know this by themselves, they need you, God's appointed ambassador, to instruct them and to give them insight and to do it with His grace and His wisdom and His patience and His kindness and His love. As we wrap up this series today, I want to reiterate how high the stakes are. Because this is not just your child's problem. This is our problem too. And in our lives, adults, God is not content with just mere forgiveness. God wants to transform you and your life. And He wants to transform the life of your children. He wants you to become slowly, one step at a time, more and more and more, like the person He designed you and created you to become. And that's what He wants to do in the life of your child, not just your child, but in your life. And in doing so, God is going to go after the idols of your heart, what you have actually been worshiping. And your children know what it is. And God is going to be revealing that to our hearts as well. And He's also going to begin revealing to you the idols of your children's hearts. And parents, we must make this connection for ourselves, and we must help our children make the same connection. The heart, the worship, the character connection. Your child wants to be their own God, and so do we. We want to be. They want to be in God's position. So do I. They want their life to be all about them, not Him. That's all of us. They want their lives to be all about them, not you. That's all of us. None of these issues will ever be solved with more rules in the home. Because this issue is about what is ruling in their hearts. So while they're still under your roof and under your authority, we must take these divine appointments, these God moments that God has supplied you with as His ambassador, and be sure, listen to this, you could force your child into obedience. That's what I tried. You can force your child into compliance with severe consequences. But if that's what we choose to do, then one day, as soon as they are out of your house, they're out from under your threat, your authority, their tendency will be to go back, right back to their behavior that's natural, depending upon what their heart is worshiping. Because rules don't change hearts. Rules leave the heart unchanged. You can only temporarily change behavior. Your goal can't be to control your child's behavior. Instead, it's a heart change leading to a permanent life change. So if all we give our children is instruction and guidance and protection and wisdom and authority and rules and structure, if all we give them is understanding and confrontation and accountability and warnings and discipline and forgiveness or security, that is a great list. And our children need all of those things. But there's something desperately missing from that list. They must have that deepest need in their lives, that deepest need of all met. They need a Savior. They need a Redeemer. They have a sin problem. Just like we do, parents. They must see with your help that they have a sin problem. It is really a worship problem. And it's something they were born with. You didn't have to teach them this. And what they were born with, this worship problem, puts them at odds with you and with teachers, and it puts them at odds with coaches and friends. It puts them at odds with referees and umpires. It puts them at odds with peers. And most importantly, that puts them at odds with God. All of this is a heart problem. So the only solution is for a new heart, which is something that only God can give them. And you see, this isn't just church business. As we're speaking, though, we have a children's ministry right now happening, helping us take the principles of Scripture and get them, teach them on a child's level to your children. But that, so many parents, that's where a child gets all of their instruction, is when they go to church, all of their spiritual instruction. But I want you to know that is not enough. We as a church cannot do this for you. But let me pause here and say also, we do need you. As a parent, we need you to be on a rotation where we are loving these children all the way to Jesus. We need your help. Please sign up and be a part. We need you. But that's not enough. What happens in our children's ministry is not enough. We can't do this for you. We need to be a partner with you as the parent, because you are God's ambassador in their life. You are. And all of that, being an ambassador and representing God, happens not here, but out there. And there's a whole lot more out there time than in here time. And our hope and our prayer as we wrap up this series is that you will do that. That you will first see God's pointing out in our own lives as adults our heart problem, which is a worship problem. And before we can address that in our children, we must address that in our lives. And then, as that is an ongoing process for the rest of your life, we are, once that process has started, it needs to start. Once it has started, then you are able to be God's ambassador in the life of your child. And that is our hope. That is our prayer. Let's pray. Father, you have made it obvious that what I worship, that is what controls me. What I worship is what controls me. What I worship and what I idolize is what creates the character that I reveal in my life as I interact with other people and as I live life as an employee and as a person. What I worship is what is creating and shaping my character. And I confess right now in this moment, I confess that so often my character has not been shaped by you, but it has been shaped by the evil one because of what I have been worshiping. And I repent. I recognize, I turn around from following my way. I want to worship you. I want to follow you, and I want your character through the Holy Spirit to be implanted and grown into my life. I follow you, I worship you, and will you please help us teach this very thing to our children. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.